Gee, that funeral sure was sad of my father, who is a important scientific man.
Hey, buddy. You're Jared, right?
Oh, hello, sir.
So,
how are you? I'm today.
Great. Listen, I'm a friend of your father's, and he told me to get to you to entrust his greatest scientific secret to me. So I definitely won't sell it and gain any kind of monetary value whatsoever. So,
sir, you sound very suspicious, and my father was a great scientist with many scientific
researches.
Right.
I'm his friend. I'm very well aware of that, and he told me that he would give you the plans, the secret plans, to give to me on this very day, the day of your father's funeral.
Sir, I am very busy. I have to do my indie film review podcast.
Never heard of it.
Oh. It's the Indie Film Review Short Films Episode
Number 2.
Four lucky films have been selected for review. Yes. Daniel, pick which door you'd like to review from. I don't know why I did that. Hey guys, this is the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, that's Dan. This is a show. Can you believe it? This is a show where two best buds review independent films for your pleasure and for fun.
And for your publicity. I seriously hope that you use our review.
That's right.
Our explicit review, if you will, to promote your film that you want to have reviewed.
Dan can only achieve sexual gratification when he sees that retweet. Know what I mean?
Not even the retweet. Just be like, hey, we have a great film. Just listen to what these assholes have to say about it. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. And hey, you know what? I'd say I'm an asshole for sure, but Dan actually has some film experience.
Yes.
But, he studied film for a long time. He's got a master's degree in it.
This week, it made me really miss, making films because there was just so much love that was poured into these films, and you could really tell.
Yes,
you could really tell there was passion projects here.
Yeah, the level of these movies. I don't know. I just expected way worse. And they've been good.
I almost want to only do suggestions now just because of how good they make me feel whenever I'm watching them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we will keep doing your suggestions.
Yes.
But we got to give our eyes a break, you know what I mean? Because
That's
even
right.
though they're wonderful suggestions, we love watching, horror shit.
That's right. Our little peepers get tired. And we gotta go sleep. Oh, we're so sleepy. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have four little short films we're gonna talk about with you today. And we'd like to, we do deep dives. We're gonna go in. We're gonna analyze it. We're gonna infantilize it. That's not good. We're gonna kicky punch it. We're gonna find the ghost wife. We're gonna solve the donut conundrum. All right, we're going to do all of these things today. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Stay tuned. You're going to love it.
We're going to order a second and blow up wife.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to fuck inanimate objects. It's going to get crazy. What we've decided together as a family unit is we're not going to be doing a numbered score for these types of movies. So for short films that people submit to us, we will do recommendations. We are going to heavily critique things where we see it needs to be, whatever. That's part of the fun. But we just think review scores, whatever, because it's hard to compare them to super high-budget movies, It's I don't think it's fair, a $3 million movie compared to, a $100 movie.
Right.
They're just not – there's no scale there. I don't want to do scales.
Plus, you guys can't take criticism, so fuck you.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I'm just kidding.
I am also very open to criticism for this show. If anyone's like,
I'm not.
Idiots talk too much.
Take,
I'll be like, all right, we'll talk less.
All dead air. Constructive criticism goes straight to Jared. Just address Jared and all those nasty emails.
That's right. More dead air. I hear you loud and clear. We will not speak during the podcast. Okay. First movie, Night Tide.
Oh, so far we're one for one. I watched that one first as well.
That's right. This was submitted by Richard Miller, I believe.
Richard Miller.
It is a 9-minute short film on Vimeo, if you'd like to find it. Night Tide. What did you think, Dan?
What did I think about Night Tide? Well, the music was creepy. There were a couple things about it that just felt off.
Okay. Explain.
I don't remember the last time I took a bath in a clawed foot bathtub while Fur Elise was playing in the background. So just that image felt strange to me. I couldn't quite get past it.
The entire film felt strange. I will say I loved the camera work and the editing and all of that. I loved how the film looked. I love the cameras that they used. It was like a film grainy. It made it seem older.
Right.
I even kind of like the overexposed nature of it. They kind of brightened it up a little bit.
Mm.
I think that was done just to offset the dark lighting, but it looked good. I liked it.
No, I mean, there was nothing wrong visually with this movie at all.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I think where this film ran into problems was proximity. Proximity felt strange in this film. You know what I mean?
In terms of moving through scene to scene?
No, character interaction. Like, you know, all right, so the basic premise, let's just spoil the fuck out of it right now,
guys.
Oh,
yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. We didn't actually say what the movie was.
So, essentially, it's about this guy who... This guy. It's this about this guy who... can I just spoil it right now?
So, would you recommend this movie before we spoil it?
You know, 9 minutes of my time, I would recommend it. It was fun to watch.
Yes, I enjoyed watching it. I think I would recommend this. Yeah, I think I would recommend it. It's pretty good.
So let me be completely honest here. Like, if I used to work for a short film festival, for those of you who do not know, and I would screen hundreds and hundreds of movies every year for submissions. And if I got this submission, it would have been a contender to go through, but I don't know if it would have won out in the end. You know what I mean? Because there may have been a short film that was better than it, because I have seen short films that really encapsulate. Like, I was not afraid the entire time. And I get where this film was coming from in terms of having like the inverted narrative where you didn't necessarily know what happened until the very end.
Yes. So, very quickly, it's basically this guy wanders through his house and there's a ghost and he's trying to piece together what's going on with him and his girlfriend. And it turns out he kills his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's the big thing at the end.
But and Sadako from The Ring shows up out of nowhere and you're like, wait, what am I watching?
That's right.
And she pees on the floor.
The best part of... Yes. Very naughty. We should have put out puppy pads, but...
Yes, we should have.
We're so busy. We're not good.
What's the implication now, Ringu parents? Sadako.
Sadako parents?
Yeah. The implication
it
is
it sounds
that we
like some kind of Tamagotchi we have to take care
Topical
of.
Topical reference.
I know. Hey, guys, you ever heard of this thing called a Rubik's Cube? Pretty topical. Anyways, Rubik's Cubes are great. The issue I have with this movie is not the execution, but the premise, and then that ending is kind of pretty predictable and boring to me.
Right.
It reminds me of a Steam game that you would play where it's like those horror paint by numbers, like a $10 Steam game where it's like, I'm going through a house in first person and like scary stuff's happening. And then, oh no, I'm the killer. It's like every game I've seen on Steam. That's what it kind of reminded me of. Now, I know that was harsh. I will say why you would watch this movie is for the camera work and for the cool stuff they do. I loved all of that.
I wouldn't say you're harsh because, like I said, like it didn't bother me what you're saying. Like, the narrative didn't bother me. What bothered me was part of the execution in that the believability that the ghost just seemed like it was so close to him every single time he was following it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, just maybe the quarters that they were filming in were too tight to get the shot they wanted. But I yes. felt like he should have been able to catch the ghost every single thing. You know what I mean?
Well, there was a lot of times where he was just not reacting to things.
That's another
like, crazy
thing
shit was happening. And that's just an acting problem, honestly. Where just the guy is not, he's just, what? What did I say?
You're starting fighting words here.
Oh, no.
That's
for the most part, when they were speaking, the acting was good. But when it was him reacting to things around him, it was just, he was just kind of drifting through the scenes. But all the camera work and everything I said, like, that stuff was good. I like
My
that.
Final note here is there seems to be a disconnect between what they wanted to be fantasy versus reality. Because,
oh, okay.
like, because that's that at the end, we find out that, you know, he's chasing a ghost through his yard because he actually,
yes.
that was, it's just so thrown together at the very last second that it was very jarring to me. So not that it was a bad way to do it, but for me, it just kind of took me out of the film at that second. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I've seen this.
Overall, it's just the story. If they give you more reason as to why maybe, I guess they did because she was like cheating or something. There's not enough time for you to feel connected to the characters.
Which
and
is
the whole premise of like him chasing a ghost of the person he had just killed. I mean, he could have be having some kind of manic episode or something. Like, it's almost like you think it's a ghost, but it's really not. He's just going crazy because he just killed his wife. That's what I feel like happened.
Which I feel like that gives the film a little bit more merit. But what you said about not having enough time, like, that's one of the biggest issues you run into with short films. Because you don't want it to be too long, because 9 minutes is a fucking excellent time for a short film.
Yes,
it's
just
under 10, and if you go over 10, you're starting to lose people, and you aren't able to get as much as you could in terms of a feature-length film with plot development and whatnot. So,
I feel like it was good for the amount of time that they had.
Absolutely. Which is why I don't want to, like, be too much of a dick to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm not.
We do have to move on.
Yes.
So the next film I'd like to talk about is Coffee and Donut. I believe it's done by Fresh Brewed. I'm not sure who sent this into us. Do you know?
Shit. We should probably figure this out.
So this is a short film, 10-minute. Also on Vimeo. Dan, can you explain to me, why do some of these movies have passwords?
Because they are password protected for festival circuits, essentially.
Okay.
So they don't want to release it wide yet. They just want it to be sent to festivals first.
So we can't give out the password and tell people to watch it?
I wouldn't.
All right.
I don't know.
So you can't watch this movie. ask the Coffee and Donut people. I'm sure you can find it on Vimeo if you type in Coffee and Donut.
Be like, hey, Coffee and Donut people, I'm really interested in what your movie is because I listen to the podcast like a good human being. And,
yes.
They had some hot shit to say, and I wanted to
That's
see
right.
if your film is up to that hot shit.
Hot takes, mother. So, Night Tide, you can watch. There's no password. Now, Coffee and Donut. There is a password. There's another film we're going to talk about right after. Doll It Up. There is a password. So, hit those motherfuckers. There you go. All right. Coffee and Donut. Dan, give us a little rundown.
A guy who is from some Spanish-speaking country, maybe Spain, Venezuela. I don't know. He's definitely a foreigner in our country.
Okay.
He is unable to order anything from a diner besides a coffee and donut because he heard one guy say coffee and donut and it was just the first thing out of his mouth.
Yes.
And because he's not able to speak our language, English language, he is
American.
He is forced to order a coffee and donut until he finds a mentor. Now, narratively, I'm going to tell you right fucking now, I have a huge problem with this movie.
There's a lot of conundrums and confusions in this film that perplex me to no end.
Let's talk about the main one, please.
Sure.
So there's this woman that's introduced in this film by being the biggest bitch of a customer ever, like going ding ding ding.
She's
ding,
awful.
Ding. She's terrible. Awful. She's a terrible person. But this person ends up being the one thing that saves the main character. So the mentor is the biggest bitch ever, and we are supposed to identify and feel good about her. Like, if anybody has worked in the food service ever, I would throw so much bullshit hot soup in their face for doing that.
I swear, that should be the title of the episode, Bullshit Hot Soup.
So, well, but yeah, like, it was such a confusing tone because they set her up as extremely unlikable, but then she turns into this awesome mentor character for the main character. And
she completely switches characters. Yeah. So, it's like they needed another actor to do that part and then have this other person come in. Because it's like her personalities have changed completely. It was so jarring and weird. I loved her when she was, like, the nice, caring, like, oh, I'm going to teach you.
There was nothing wrong with her. It's just the character just was,
but
like,
that
what the fuck?
First impression was terrible. So, okay.
That being said, was the film awesome and watchable? Absolutely. I like the message behind it.
Yes, it was. So this movie is the most lighthearted and upbeat of all the movies. It was very cute and enjoyable. What's that?
I beg to differ.
Oh, well, you're just thinking of Doll It Up, aren't you, you weirdo? So, I liked the camera work. I liked the acting. I liked everything about this movie. But they're in this weird world that just, it was like Uncanny Valley, where things weren't making sense to me.
Oh,
and
my
What the fuck am I watching?
That's okay. That's a perfect.
So weird.
That's a perfect review of this movie. It is an endearing film, but the universe they created does not exist because it's so totally confusing. Because by the end of the film, the real enemy is diner waitresses everywhere. That's what I felt like. I'm like, this. Why is this lady being a bitch now? I don't understand.
Yeah. Seriously. So
the basic
would you recommend this movie first before I get into some weird stuff?
Would I recommend it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this one, knowing how film festivals work, this one would have made it in. Like, I know people who are like, would eat this shit up, even though I have a problem with it. Like, I was always the black sheep of the reviewing committee whenever it came to making the program. Okay. Because I like some, you know, good movies, and everybody else likes feel-good movies.
Yeah. Can I ask you, though, so when you're judging for these films, are you looking at the merit of how the film was constructed?
Yeah.
Or is it just, okay.
No, I look at the merit, and, like, everything was great about this film, but what took me out of the film specifically was the narrative, because...
Yes.
Writing that... And, okay, the only reason I think that lady was written to ding the bell, like, 5,000 times was so that guy, the main character at the very end, could see it, and he does that to make an announcement at the end.
Yeah, which was so stupid.
But I don't think it worked.
No. So I can't recommend this movie, even though I enjoyed it, and I thought it was cute. But the amount of confusion this movie gave me was too severe. Okay, let's get into it. Why is he at the diner?
Because he's hungry. Next question.
So he's in a foreign country going to this one diner every single day.
Well, okay. The other thing...
All of these characters are going to this diner every single day. The same people. To this diner.
Have you heard of regulars?
Yeah. What? No, okay. Because in my impression, if this guy's a foreigner, right? He's visiting. Is he a tourist? If he is, why is he going to the same diner every single day? That's weird.
He may not be a tourist. He may be somebody who's just coming to the United States. But then what really is interesting about this movie, then, if we're going by that, it's like,
okay,
he's somebody who, like, have you been to a foreign country?
No, I haven't. I am uncultured.
So you, I mean, I feel for this guy because he feels like a fish out of water, and it was bizarre. Yes. I'm not saying it's a fault of the movie at all. I'm just saying, like, and maybe this is the point of the film. It felt bizarre to me because he was somebody who was struggling to know English, and I think that might be the point. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, let's be sensitive to people who don't know English because
yes.
diners or diner waitresses.
But it's taken to such an extreme.
Well, whenever you... Okay. Now, in defense of this movie, whenever you are taking... Whenever you have a short film that you don't have a lot of time to do this, to develop anything,
yes,
you kind of have to go to extremes in order to make your point.
Okay. So here's what I mean.
Okay.
When he orders the coffee and donut because he hears somebody else say it, he is hearing other people say things in ordering, but yet he cannot bring himself to say those words. For some reason, he can only say coffee and donut. I don't know why. Also, when you go to a foreign country, let's say you're in Japan, and you don't know any language, you don't know anything. If there's pictures, or if you see something someone's eating, you can just look at the waiter and go, point at that thing, and be like, I would like that thing. They don't...
Right.
There's a universal language of body language and everything else where you can get across what you're trying to do. And now, I get that he's trying to learn English, but it's weird because at first you think the waitress is not in on what he's trying to do. She seems very confused by what he's doing. By the end, she's like, you did it. You finally ordered. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You were in on this the whole time? You were like preventing him from getting food this whole time because he can't say the words? I'm like... What kind of, like, torture, weird reality are we
That's
in right
I
now
said.
Where everyone is, like, rooting
Diner
for him?
Diner waitresses are the real enemy.
Like, it was some M. Night Shyamalan shit. I was like, what is going on? And everyone was just like, we're all in on it. They're, like, all actors in the stage of his life, like Truman Show, trying to help him learn how to order food. It was fucking wild. And I'm making it sound way crazier than it really was. But that's what I felt like. It was that weird uncanny valley of just, this is not reality. I want to go back to where my reality is. I don't understand where I am. Woo! All right. What a bizarre film. And then we can talk about the female lead character. So
right.
She's trying to help him.
Excellent Spanish. Both of them
yes.
spoke excellent Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, like...
Good
on the
too.
Whole, yeah, the acting was great. The cinematography was great. I liked the diner they were in. Like that,
yeah.
That was money well spent. I
the little
say.
Intro was good.
Yeah. So it's the narrative that we have issues with.
Yes.
If you
can't tell, the narrative was throwing me for many loops. It was just disturbed me on a deep level. This is actually the scariest film we've watched out of the four films. That's a joke. I'm kidding. So I think the movie was really good. I personally could not recommend it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so Doll It Up.
This.
We all saw this coming. This son of a bitch. Timothy J. Cox. He's back at it again.
He's back at it again. And let me tell you something, listeners. listeners of the Timmy J. Cox fam club.
That's
yes.
right. Cox
this
boys,
is probably his best movie so far.
Holy shit, this movie is great.
I loved it. It was wonderful.
So this movie is also on Vimeo. It is called Doll It Up. It is password protected, so I guess you'll have to email Timothy J. Cox personally.
Well, no, it was made by the Florida State University film program. So
okay.
it's like a shitload of...
Oh yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff on there. I kind of wanted to go through and look at some of those other films. Maybe we'll do a whole Florida University episode where we just blow
yeah.
their shit up and review all their movies. That would be a great idea. Guys, I come up with a lot of good ideas. You're welcome. but if you haven't realized already, we're big fans of Timothy J. Cox.
And, we're huge fans.
We say his name fully and completely, and we never should.
As it
ever.
Is written... on the divine tableaus of the social media websites.
He is a treasure, and I will hold in my heart forevermore, Santianados. So, Doll It Up. I'll briefly explain.
I almost have the...
Oh, yes. Dan's still doing a lookup for us. I'll wax poetically. See this.
Directed by Yalan
really
Hu. Yalan Hu, I believe it is...
Yes.
Yes. Yalan Hu. Written and directed
okay.
by Yalan Hu. And you said see this
Fantastic.
Movie because it's
yes.
only 6 minutes long. It
see
is
it.
Brilliant comedy.
It's hilarious.
It has a 9 out of 10 from 5 votes on IMDb, which is, you know, not saying too much, I suppose. But it deserves the 9 out of 10, I believe.
Because I guarantee anyone who's seen this and they have any kind of funny bones in their body, if they have not been removed through surgery, they will like this movie. It's real funny. We can all relate.
We can all relate.
Can we?
There's so many things.
Dan, tell us what this is.
Okay, so basically this guy...
This is spoilers, by the way.
This guy has a significant other, like a wife...
Uh-huh.
That's a blow-up doll, essentially.
Yeah.
And very early on, he's like... He deflates her, and he's like, well, you're out. And he orders a new one. And then the other one comes back to life.
Yes. So, like, it's alive?
It's wonderful.
And then there's moments where he's trying to get rid of the other one. He's got the new one, and the new one cheats on him with the delivery man.
Okay, so that scene is my favorite scene in this film.
You get to see Timothy J. Cox have simulated sex with a blow-up doll.
Well, I mean, okay, that's my second favorite scene.
Perfection.
Timmy J. Cox's reaction to watching, I'm sorry, Timothy, to watching his newfound wife cheat on him was brilliant. Like it's no way that I would react, but like the absurdity of this movie, it was perfect.
The doll in the trash was funny somehow.
Also,
like, how did
I
you?
I want to talk about.
Are you serious?
I want to talk about that scene.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
There's no way he did that in one take. I mean, Timothy J. Cox, you're good, but you're not that good. I'd imagine that scene took forever to film because it was so perfectly thrown in.
It was so good.
It was this like, it's just a passing moment of just throwing something in there. And there's no fucking way that they shot that in one take. If
no
I'm wrong,
scene was wasted.
If
no
I'm
shot
wrong,
was
please
wasted.
Tell me. But goddamn, that scene
everything
was
about
so
this
funny.
Movie was so focused in. And direct to the comedy and the pacing and everything was so perfect.
Absolutely.
This might be like the best thing we watched.
So far.
I think this is my number one. Go watch this. Big time, big boy.
In terms of. During, out of these. Like, for sure.
It's
hard to compete though, because like this is, it was the shortest film we watched.
Yes.
And short films, again, whenever you are making a short film, it's so hard to get everything you want. Yep.
You gotta have that premise, and you gotta fucking hit it, man.
Right,
and that's everything must serve it.
And that's part of my issues with short films because they're based off a premise, and premises are basically, hey, wouldn't it be funny if, or hey, wouldn't it be cool if, and then you make the short film, and then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
This one worked, but I feel bad for the ones that don't necessarily work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're ideas, and they're being creative, and it's wonderful.
Well, Dan. I know we didn't talk too much about Doll It Up. It's fantastic. I mean, I just want people to go see it. Everything about it was great. The acting was good. The editing, directing, all that stuff was fine. It was great. I loved it.
And we need to have enough room to talk about the magnum opus.
The main course.
The main
course. Did you eat your Brussels sprouts?
Because here comes.
That's right. All the garlic bread is done. Okay, we got the steak coming in right
here
now.
Here it comes.
Steak and potatoes, baby. Get ready.
For
all right?
Ramel Carter.
That's right. Ramel Carter!
Can I?
In the house.
Can I say something about this movie?
Sure. Dan, I don't want to confuse you, but that's why we're here. We're actually here to review the film. So yes, you can say something about the film.
Oh my God. I think I like this film more than you. I really do. I don't even know how much you like it. I think I like it more than you.
So give us a spoiler-free explanation, because this is the longest film. It's 28 minutes. Who recommended this to us? Let me pull it up. It's done by Louis P. TV on YouTube.
Louis P.
So if you want to find this, it's Louis P. TV on YouTube. It's Ramel Carter, and then it's short film encased around it. Go find it. Go find it and watch it. So
this is one of those films that, like, we don't have enough fucking time to break it down the way I want to break it down, because there's so much
we might go a little long
absurdity in this. But so basically, this is the reference of the first segment of the show where somebody's looking for somebody's secret formula, essentially.
Uh-huh.
So this guy named Ramel Carter, he shares a secret formula with this doctor or something, and the doctor is trying to keep it away from people who would use it in wrong ways.
Yes.
And this guy named Riley finds Ramel after the funeral of the doctor
mm-hmm.
that they both were attending. He's like, hey, you got that shit? And he's like, yeah, but I don't want to start nothing, so it's not for you. And he goes away, and the whole mission is for Riley to get the fucking plans or whatever.
So, yeah, that's spoiler-free review. Dan, would you recommend this movie?
Yes.
Yes, I recommend this movie immediately. Go watch it immediately.
I don't know if I'm recommending it for the right reasons, though.
And
what's amazing about this is it's good, but it's also laughably cheesy, which makes it even better.
We're going to tear this movie apart, but I'm going to do it with
love this movie so much,
and respect.
And I would say it's better put together than Miami Connection, but I got Miami Connection vibes the entire time.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
They are good filmmakers. I'm not going to lie. Like, I can't do the shit that they do. But so much of it had this weird action cheese in it that I'm like, this is so fucking good.
But that's
good.
What it was going for. That's what it was. So this movie is a love letter. It's an homage to the action films of yore. The things that you watch where it's like the premise and the plot. It's just the dumbest shit you can imagine. You're only here for one thing, Dan.
And that's surprising fight choreography.
Yes. Kicky punchies. You're here to see Jared, one guy kicky punch another guy.
Were you expecting the level of choreography that was present in this film?
I jumped up and was like, yo, this is fucking rad. Because I was like, I was a little bored. I was kind of laughing
at
some
blind. He's so big. Like, he's like this mass of like human being that's just tearing through everyone. Oh, it's so good.
I fucking love it. Why don't movies like get like beefcake dudes? Like, because usually you get like these skinny, like Tom Cruise fuckers who are short. They're like, man, I'm going to do action stuff.
No,
this guy
you get
was
the
fucking
Hulk.
Wall.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
He's a slab of man meat, and he just swings those meaty fists and destroys everything with his anger. And I fucking
And there's
loved
also,
it.
Like, there's, okay, the CGI, cheap CGI violence, but I also was not expecting somebody to get their head blown off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Okay, so I want to break this down, this film briefly before we get into some other stuff, like the dialogue and stuff. So, construction-wise, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I like how the movie was filmed. I thought it was a little weird. Some of the overhead shots in the beginning seemed like they used Google Maps or something. I didn't get what was going on there. But then later on, they do overhead shots. It looks like they're using a drone camera.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It was great. I loved it. And I'm like, oh, why was that not in the beginning? I love this. So they really try to do some cinematic things. They really try to work around them only having certain areas to film. Because, you know, they film that guy's house a lot. So they're limited to the sets that they could use, but I think they do a pretty good job because I was so sucked into the characters and all the goofy stuff they were saying that I wasn't even paying attention to like where we were, what was going on. Like I was enraptured in, I don't think that's a word. I was,
it's a word enough.
It's a word enough. I was into what was going on enough to where all that stuff didn't really matter to me. This is a film where you get your friends together and get drunk and you make fun of, and you have a lot of fun watching the fights.
Yeah.
It's like a fun movie night where, like, let's get crazy. And when I say make fun of, like, I don't mean, like, that in a negative way.
The film,
I don't.
I know, but the film is almost begging for it. That's why I think you were talking about how it was meant to be this way. Like, the first thing that I started laughing my ass off at is whenever Riley calls his hitman protege, like, the big boss hitman, and he's just surfing fucking Netflix on his day off. he's like, yeah, I'll be right there.
I work alone. I only do these jobs alone. I'm the best in the biz. And then
he immediately gets his ass kicked. So
yeah, he
hard.
Gets his fucking ass kicked so fast. And then he is not working alone. There is another guy with him. So I'm like, so didn't he compromise with his boss? That was so weird. Okay.
One thing I do want to say,
though. We're going to go through some of the
steps. One of the things that I do want to say, just before we get into it, the Foley in this is on point. Like, all the fight things, like the punch sounds. Oh, my God. Because the sound mixing was a little bit rough at first because you can tell they were using a wind buffer because there was a lot of wind outside.
Yes.
But as soon as you get into the film, like, and they're inside, everything is perfect. And the fucking Foley for this fight sound effects, it's so good.
Yeah. It seemed like in previous films we've watched, the beginning was rough, and then the film was getting better as it went on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they tried to do this really cool outdoor shot of at the cemetery where two friends are walking and they're sad that their friend died or whatever. And they get approached by the man who's like, give me the secret formula. And then his buddy, he's acting so gangster. He's like, yo, man, fuck you. And he's got like a gun and everything. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. And then later on, that same guy, his personality completely changes. Mm-hmm. He becomes like a nerdy.
Yeah, a tech guy.
Like research guy. And spoiler alert.
The villain.
He's the real villain, which I fucking loved. I love that.
And you know what was fantastic. The best part about that? That was at the very end, in like 30 seconds left in. I'm like, you know what? Fucking Ramel Carter 2.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready. I'm my body is ready. I'm ready. Let's do it. Give me my movie. I don't know if there's a sequel. I need to find out.
I hope there is. And if there is, it must be in development. They've got to give it to us.
I've never seen an action movie where the end is like, you suck, you lost.
Yeah, right?
Love is the reason why you've lost. You're too weak mentally. Peace out. I'm going to Maui. And I'm like, holy shit. How long was the long con for this guy? Because apparently they're best friends, yeah. Right? Like, how long was he friends with this guy to trick him for this long? Like, Dan, are you doing some kind of long con with me where one day you're going to, I'm going to call you on the phone. You'll be like, I'm heading to Maui, bitch.
Taking all the podcast proceeds.
Yeah, I have all the secret all scientist podcast proceeds.
$5.93 in my wallet.
Yeah, all negative $500 that we spent on this show. I don't know how much. It's not good. It's all in the red. We don't do graphs anymore because the graphs just point straight down. It's not good. But we love it. Okay, so we have that. Then we have these ridiculous lines, like when the main character goes
God to forgives. See his... I don't.
Yeah. When he goes to see his girlfriend, or his wife, my bad. And it's kind of cute, you know, they're like doing flirty stuff. And she goes, how was your day? And he goes, oh, it was good. And I'm like, didn't your friend just die? Like, didn't you just get back from a fucking funeral? Like, why was your girlfriend not with you at the funeral? I'm like, what the fuck is going on? That was weird. There's a lot of really cheesy one-liners in this to where I just can't tell if it was intentional or not. And it makes it fun. Like, the writing is the weakest part, but also good because it's funny.
Right.
So I don't know the intention. I guess... at this point, it doesn't matter because it's whatever you get out of the film. Yeah. Like, he's made the film. We're getting enjoyment out of it. But I think, like I said, the main thing that really made the film for me was the fighting. The fighting was great.
The fighting was excellent. Absolutely.
I fucking loved it. And like, when it started happening, I was like, oh, I understand the film now. Like, I get why we're watching this. It's so we can see people do the kicky punch. And I'm like,
and at the very end, like the last fight where he's kicky punching like the main bodyguard.
Yeah.
And he actually starts to take hits, like finally, because he's just been mowing through everybody. And then this other guy who's like a trained MMA fighter, he really starts to fuck him up. That was a really good fight.
Yeah, that was sick. And I liked how they tried to explain why everyone knew how to fight. They're like, so this guy's a bad guy and he's got this office, but also on the side, he does a boxing gym. And I'm like, yeah, I was so fucking excited. So he's like, all of his bodyguards are professional boxers and fighters. So I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. I could have watched an hour of this for sure. Like, I know at the end they sped it up to where like, he's just getting into a fight one after the other. And I liked it, but I was like, man, I want this filmmaker. Here's my dream sheet of what I want these guys to do. More kicky punchies for sure. That's the premise. I want that same actors. I like the main character. I want him to have more style. Mm. I want more style. I want more flair. I want to anime this fucking thing up because he needs to have more of a badass personality.
Well, I mean, he kind of does have a badass personality because, like, his wife has been kidnapped. She's in danger. And he just casually walks to his friend's house to find where she is.
And it's cool. But, like, so, like, he's in a sweatshirt the whole time. And I'm like, that's not a... Like, they could make the sweatshirt badass. They could do some. So like, it needs to be
Ed Hardy.
I don't know. Bedazzle it. No, I'm just kidding. Like, when that one villain took his shirt off, because he's like, I don't want to get blood on it. I was like, fuck yeah. Like, they were giving him some personality. Like, he was doing some crazy shit. The movie needs to embrace what it is more. Like, we need to go further with how ridiculous things are.
Right.
And it could have been, like, really fun. Like, stylized. Just be more stylized. I see the vision and the voice and like what they're trying to do. We need to get there with more originality. So like, imagine this movie with, like, I want to see like his vision not influenced by other things. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
'Cause this was like a lot of, homages to different like, fight movies and stuff like that in the dialogue and everything else. But if he can come up with like an original plot, like just out of the box stuff, I think it would be so fun.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, like, we don't even have to be in the realm of reality too much. Because, like, this plot is very bizarre. It's, like, secret scientific formula, and, like, my wife has been kidnapped, and it's all very far-fetched and weird. Like, let's lean on that. Let's get fucking crazy. You know?
Yeah.
Like, these characters don't even have to dress like normal characters. I don't know. Like, whatever your aesthetic is, you can make them cool. Basically, Dan, I'm trying to turn everything into JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I was hoping you were going to... I was about to say something like that, for sure. Which, I would... Okay.
Like, turn it into, like, a crazy wrestling thing. I don't know. You can, like, have, like... You know, like, in these movies... Okay, here's what I love. I'm sorry I'm talking so much. I'll stop soon. Don't worry. It made me think of old kung fu movies.
Right.
Where you, like, a dude must avenge his father or something. Or, like, he's got to go save his girlfriend. And he's like, you must fight the five yogi masters, and they each know a different form of martial art.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're all introduced in the beginning and they're all badass. And it's like, that's the movie, you know, like they could do that so fucking easily with this, but with their own flair. It could be like, a dude who's good with knives or something, you know, like they could keep it in modern times. They don't have to go like, you know, all that stuff. 'Cause it's too much budget. But they could do a ton of fun stuff. Like, give characters, like, give a guy a scar. I don't know. Make him fight somebody with, like, one arm who's, like, really good at fighting for some reason. You can do a lot of crazy shit. But anyways, go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry. I'm taking up all the time.
Well, the one last thing I wanted to talk about is there was a watch out for snakes moment in this.
Was there?
Where he, like, defeats the hitman. Uh-huh. And as he's leaving the hitman, hitman's like off camera, like he you see the hitman on camera, then it cuts to him walking away, and then you can hear fuck you, but it's not, it's really funny.
It was pretty great. I loved how when he was in his house and the bad guys were there to get him, and his girlfriend was already kidnapped at this point, where he kills the first guy, he questions him, and he kills the first guy, shoots him right in the fucking head. It's the first death of the movie. It was so like, holy shit. Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't know this character was capable of just straight up murdering someone. Then he goes down into his basement.
Bitch,
I don't know
why. It's Ramel Carter.
That's right. Ramel Carter don't give a fuck. So he goes down to the basement. They have this like really short fight with like the mini boss guy who comes back later, I guess. It could have been cool if, like, these guys had a history or if maybe... I mean, they did get a good fight later, but this beginning fight was, like, a joke. He kicks his ass so fast.
I don't think it was the same person.
It was.
Was it?
The dude who takes his shirt off is the same dude who gets fought in the basement. He
really?
Comes back later. Yes. And the silly part is that he only shoots him in the leg, but it's literally the same day, and his leg is totally fine during the next fight. And I'm like... Guys, come on. What's going on? I mean, I know we're here for kicky punchies, but this is ridiculous. I mean, he could have been his leg could have been injured, but he could have had some other way to have an advantage. You know, like trapped him in a room or...
cage match.
I don't know. Like, he's got a gun and he's got to, like, fight him while he's got a gun or something. So, why doesn't he kill him, too? And he questions him the same way he questioned the first guy. He already has this information of where his wife is and where to go. But yet he asked the other dude the same questions. And I'm like, okay, film.
I want a second opinion.
If we just got a series of him going through the house and fighting a dude and then asking him the same questions and then killing them, That would be hilarious. I would fucking love that. He'd be like, who do you work for? He's like, I don't know, man. And then he like hits him. He's like, oh, I work for this guy and he does this. And he's like telling him all the information. And he's like, why do you keep questioning? Like that comedy could have been so funny.
Yeah.
And then like, you could have got to a point where one of the villains is like, didn't you already question these guys? Like, what are you asking me? Like, you know everything. You know all the info. I don't know. Stuff like that was charming.
Yeah.
I liked it. So this episode's going long. I apologize. I think we've already said to watch this film.
Right? Yeah, watch the film.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed this. We got very passionate.
Oh, so passionate. Just like the movies. The movies that we watched were very passionate.
Yes. Another passionate night at the movies. Bring your lover so she can get kidnapped. So kudos to everybody who submitted to us. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for showing all of these. I'm going to start promoting all these movies. I'll do my best. We're terrible at social media. Anyways, speaking of social media, you can reach us at Facebook at Indie Film Review on Facebook. Twitter, we are Indie Film Pod on Twitter. Gmail, if you'd like to email us, movie suggestion. You can email us on any platform, by the way. Or you just want to say hello. Or tell us how handsome we are. It's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
And don't forget the Instagram.
Yes, so Instagram, please, Danny.
At Indie Film Review Pod.
Thank you, whoever this is. I don't know where Dan is anymore. And we are always housed and homed and loved by Podbean. Indiefilmreview.podbean.com. If you would like to go to the source, to the teat of the independent film, that's it. Guys, we're also on iTunes. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yes.
If you like the show, if you love the show, that's a good place to do it. Dan.
Yeah.
It's been fun. It's been swell.
Yes, it has.
I appreciate you and I respect our time together. And I apologize for this episode being so long.
It's fine. It's fine.
You have the final word.
To find the masters, we must travel the desert in a spiral.
Yes! That was fucking rad!